What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my hat and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman here with John Senecal. We are recording heading into Monday night's games where the Yankees are off. The Red Sox play in Baltimore in advance of a big weekend series between the Red Sox and the Yankees. First four of seven remaining for the two teams. The rundown for today's show, we'll do a quick team update. Talk a little bit of Little League World Series, a little bit of a realignment that was floated today for some reason, and then we'll talk about John's vacation in Aruba. you must be feeling a little bit better this week, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. You know, it's like any other vacation, though. When you're traveling, especially out of the country, you have to get a vacation from a vacation. But when you're in the islands, it's always a lot more relaxing.
I wasn't even talking about that. We'll talk about that later. I was talking about the last week and a half of Yankees play.
Yeah, so it was good that I did watch a majority of the games kind of in and out. You know, we'd have the phone so you could take it with you. But yeah, it's nice to see the Yankees are playing better. I mean, it's interesting because they're scoring a lot of runs, which helps them because they're still kind of that Jekyll and Hyde thing. Like, you know, the defense kind of will let you down if the offense is there. If the pitching is good, then the base running sucks. So it's like they still aren't putting it all together. But 7-3 over their last 10, which is basically, you know, the second hottest team in baseball behind the Brewers, who almost got 14 straight wins. So it's encouraging, Brian. It's encouraging. And it's also encouraging to know that their schedule going out is pretty easy. 22 games against either the Nats, Twins, Orioles, or White Sox. And there's about 40 games left in the season. So that's encouraging. But the 7 games against the Red Sox, 4 coming up, like you said, is a big, 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 big deal.
I mean, the thing is that based on where we were in, I don't know, May or June, all I asked for is them to be competitive. So the Red Sox, I'm fine with. The problem is that any of these teams, Seattle, Boston, or New York, if they lose 3 straight, they could be completely out of the wild card. There's zero cushion, you know, and then you have the Guardians are sticking around, and all of a sudden the Royals are put a couple together. So it's nerve wracking because we're sitting here basically mid-August, and every game kind of matters because if you lose a couple and the other team wins a couple, you're all of a sudden on the outside looking in. So I just wanted to have games that mattered, and so I can't complain because I have games that matter. So all the people call me a cynic and all this and that. You know, I don't know about this new addition of first base, whether it's going to make a difference or not. Picking that guy up off the waivers and then signing him.
Well, I think it's interesting you say that because I was thinking about him, and it's, you know, obviously his numbers aren't great. I think he was formerly with Texas, right? And then he wound up with the Nats. So he's still young, 29, and this is the kind of guy that I think if he does get on a good team, he might actually have a spark because he did have potential in the past. So we'll see. Not a great batting average this year. A lot of strikeouts, but he always strikes out. So maybe a switch leagues and a switch to the Red Sox into a winning team might help him. But yeah,
we're TBD. Talking about Nathaniel Lowe, big guy. They've had good sort of platoon production, but surprisingly, after Casas went down. It's a guy who, I don't know, I guess a couple years ago hit 27 home runs for Texas. And
left-handed bat, so that helps.
So we'll see. I mean, listen, any major league legitimate depth is fine. But we got relevant games. This weekend's going to be great in New York. And I think that weather, hopefully, it cooperates. We'll have some big crowds and some intense games. It should be a lot of fun. I think it'll be really interesting to see, like, a Roman Anthony and the young guys, how they respond to 50,000 in the stands that isn't at home it should be interesting. Because the guy's got ice in his veins, in my opinion. I think he's the real deal. But we'll definitely learn a lot about him this weekend.
But certainly, I mean, this series is by far, for the last few years, the most meaningful Yankees-Red Sox series that, you know, happening. So it's good. I love this part about baseball. I love this rivalry. This is great. It's great for baseball.
I just think it's great to be in New York in late August, right around the U.S. Open time, you know, and hopefully it's warm and people are, you know, out there screaming their heads off. I mean, I'm trying to see the projected starters. I mean, so we got Giolito, Bayo, Crochet, and May. I mean, so we got, we don't have great pitching, but those are like, that's basically our top four. And, you know, I don't know much about Warren, obviously Heal, Fried, and Rodon. I mean, it's going to be a good series. No doubt.
Yeah.
Listen, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 211 of Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I do want to touch on the Little League World Series a little bit. It's been great for us. You know, we have Braintree, Massachusetts was the town I lived in for 5 years. So we know a lot of the people involved with that program. So they make the World Series. It's a big deal. And then Connecticut, for some reason, Fairfield played in the New York region. They won that region, and so they're there too. And going into Monday night, they're 2-0, and Braintree is out. Now, I'll just say that just making it is historic. Feel really bad for their third base coach. They tried a delayed steal at home, and he got called out, and they lost by a run. So when a guy's on third in Little League, that's a risky play because there's a decent chance you're going to get a pass ball, and a lot of people were criticizing the move. I actually think it would have been a fine move. I just don't think the kid had a big enough lead down the line. If he even had one more step, and he had a short lead, if he had one more step down the line, probably would not have prompted a throwback, and he probably would have been safe. But these are 12-year-old kids.
It's amazing how much slower the game is, isn't it, Brian? It's so crazy how slow. And it's the diamond is so small compared to the Major League Baseball. And you could almost like see the thought process, like, wait a minute. I should have been two more steps off, but I'm thinking about this two steps ago. So I can remember myself. I mean, you can remember yourself in that situation. I just got through that with my kids. So it's actually amazing to watch that some of these games are so good caliber of play.
Well, what I'm amazed at is you notice more in the regionals than the World Series because it's to play the World Series a little more conservatively, in my opinion. But you can tell just by watching a few of these games which teams coach everything and the kids have like baseball instincts. You know what I mean? The right, like there are some teams that just sort of get it and you can tell that either the kids have great baseball IQ or they've been coached the crap out of
a lot
because there's a lot of situational baseball that doesn't come up in the majors that happens in Little League. And some of these teams, and Braintree was very good at it before that point, just knowing what to do and when can be the difference between winning and losing. And
that's almost virtually impossible to teach at that level. It is so hard to teach at that level because the concentration, is usually not there, even with all-stars. The speed we talked about and, you know, just the pressure. Yeah. So it's amazing that these kids do what they do. So, and then Connecticut, as we speak, Connecticut Fairfield, which is the metro region, will be playing South Dakota, which I'm not sure if that's like the mountain region or Northwest region. No, it's definitely not Northwest, but it's, somewhere out there, South Dakota, they'll be playing. And if Connecticut wins, they're one more win away from, the U.S. championship game. So, two wins away.
Yeah. And it's double elimination. So you got to lose twice to get bounced. So they, you know, they have, you know, with every win they have, it increases their odds by quite a bit. You know, there's
talk about a well-coached team. They're very aggressive. They have good pitching, good hitting. So they have a legit shot.
Absolutely. And it's been great to watch. And we had the coach on my morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080, and he was great. And they're just a little overwhelmed by the attention and stuff, but he's had them for their 10-year-old, their 11-year-old, like that team has been together for 3 straight years.
What did he say about how the kids handle the pressure? Did you talk about that?
Well, the one thing we talked about was he's always trying to strike the balance between letting them stay boys and then getting serious. So like he was talking about how they were in the same hotel as Braintree when they were playing in Bristol or whatever. And they said they let them go play, make buddies, you know, mess around in the hallways. And then when it came time to be serious, snap to attention. And I think that, you know, honestly, if you want me to extrapolate a little bit, I've covered several Olympics, and I find that, like, I remember the women's hockey team coached by Katie Stone, who's from Connecticut. She was a Harvard coach at the time, and they, in the Sochi games in 2014, they didn't have any fun, Team USA, no fun. And the whole mantra from the coach, and I don't blame her, this is just her approach, was we'll have fun when we win gold. But then they don't win gold, and then they don't have fun, and then they feel like double losers. And I think, like, my only point is I think in those situations, these kind of intense tournament style, you have to let kids decompress. You can't have your foot on the gas, whether they're 12 or 24. It's the same thing. And I think there's got to be a – so his point was you got to let them have a little fun. And if you don't let them have a little fun, enjoy the moment, then I think they might hold on too tight. So he was talking about how they were all jacked up to get free stuff from Rawlings and Adidas and all this stuff. And it's really cute. So I think he had the right perspective. And I think that was the key takeaway was if you don't let them have a little fun on the way, then what's the point, you know? He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Jackman. This is episode 211 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We are transitioning to a bunch of information that came out on Monday. There's been a lot of talk about expansion. They say Nashville, maybe Salt Lake City. That would get, if that happened, it'd be 32 teams, which is a pretty good number. But I guess if you're going to have divisions, it's going to be some lopsidedness, I guess. But the thing that came out was comments from Rob Manfred about possible realignment and to have it more focused on geographical sensibility, right? You obviously have East, Central, and West now, but they might even do it more. And
well, almost think like a Little League model, right? What we're watching in Little League, you know, you have the Great Lakes region, the, you know, the Central region, the Southwest region, the Northwest region, Mid-Atlantic region.
Does that mean you double up with interleague play with the NL East?
Well, I think it's more meaning like they're just going to try to group the teams, obviously based on geography, and then you would just play basically more games on the east side of the country.
Does that mean the Mets, the Sox, and the Phillies and the Yankees are going to be in the same division?
Yeah, I don't think you'd have like an American and National League like per se. You could call it that, but it would just be more of like 32 teams, and there'd be one side and another side, and then you'd take the top, I guess, maybe from each. If you had eight full divisions or whatever regions, you take one from each region.
Right. Okay, but you still have to have divisions, right? You still have to.
But you have to have some form of that. But you can't do that until you get to 32. And that's the big thing. You need to get those extra two teams. You can't do it with 30 because you're going to have 15 and 15. Then you can't shrink that down. You know, you're going to have an odd number.
Wait, what would you do if it was 32?
You could do four divisions of eight, right?
So you'd have two ALs and two NLs.
Or you could do eight divisions of four.
Well, then your playoffs would have to expand.
So you could do like a Northeast, like the Mets, Phillies, Red Sox, Yankees could be one. You could do like a Great Lakes region. We could be like, I'm looking on here, like Blue Jays, Guardians, Pirates, Tigers.
You could
throw the Brewers in that maybe.
Yep. But here's why that's a terrible idea. You're going to have all the best. Listen, San Diego's become a real baseball town. I really was impressed with their crowd and the way the ownership's trying to win or whatever. But you have L.A., Texas. I mean, people like Detroit and Cleveland, they want to win, but they don't play like big market baseball, right? I think that if you had the Mets, Yankees – first of all, Mets, Yankees in the same division would be kind of great. But if you had Mets, Yankees, Phillies, and Red Sox – in one division, that'd be horrible for baseball because
it'd be hard to win for sure. It'd be crazy.
You would have literally your best markets beating each other up. I understand from a travel standpoint. His point was, you know, if you've got a 10 o'clock window, you want your West Coast teams always the teams playing. But to me, that's not worth disrupting everything. And I'm telling you, you can't have Philly, New York, and Boston are three of the top five baseball markets in the country. I don't care what you say. You can throw in Chicago, you can throw in LA, but that's it. Everyone else can be good, and you can make your arguments about Seattle and blah blah blah, but when Detroit sucks, they got 8,000 fans, you know, and as good as it's going now, that's the truth. So I think it's a bad idea if you lump those teams together.
I think it might be just more of a smoke and mirrors thing to get the two teams to two extra teams, and just it won't be so much that you're playing each other a lot. It might just be a way to say that you're in that region, say the Northeast, but you're still so close to the Great Lakes, which would be Blue Jays, Guardians, even the Midwest region. So you would play all those teams an equal number of times. You just wouldn't get on the other side as much, I think,
right,
of the country. Right. So it's going to be an interesting thing to figure out, but I almost feel like it's Manfred's way to, like, I guess, like, juice up the pot or kind of smoke and mirror it. That way he can get his two teams, because he says he wants to do it before he retires in 2029. And that's not far away at all. That is not right. far away. It'll right. probably be before the Rays get a new stadium. So, I mean, that also is a big deal here, Brian, because if the Rays don't figure their thing out and the A's don't figure their thing out, which I think they just broke ground in Las Vegas, none of this is going to happen. So they have right. to get those stadiums under control.
He's John Fennecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. So you just went to Aruba.
Aruba.
Nice vacation. Aruba. I'd like to go. I haven't been away in a long time. But you always go back to Aruba. I feel like since I've known you, that's where you yeah. go every single time.
I went there. We went there on our honeymoon, and we keep going back. We went there. I mean, this is probably, I would say, close to our 10th time. I know it's a great island. It's easy to traverse. It's easy to get in and out of, especially from Boston or New York. You can get direct flights. It's very easy to transition your currency. Like, you can use the American dollar, which also leads to a lot of, you know, interesting transactions. But it's a great country to go to. They know where their bread is buttered. You know what I mean? They cater to the American tourists.
Do you stay in?
No. The only time we did all inclusive was when we went on our honeymoon. Ever since then, I mean, we own a timeshare, so we go and just use it wherever. So that's basically how we do it. And
so
then
you
we just go out.
Or just go out to eat constantly?
We usually eat breakfast and lunch, like, either in the room or something, and then we go out to dinner. But I mean, it's super expensive. I mean, you're not going out to dinner under $200 for four people. It's just not. It's even more expensive than that.
You letting Jackson drink?
Yeah, they actually, you know, it's 18 or over. So he was there with my nephew. We took him along. He's graduating college this year. So we took our other nephew when he graduated, you know, as a gift. And they went on their booze cruises with us, and they went out drinking with Jackson. Had some of his friends actually were down there from Fairfield University at the same time. So they met up with them. But,
wow.
You know, they're college kids, so they're going to do it anyways. But yeah, it's interesting to see your kid like that. But it wasn't like he was out of control or anything.
Well, tell me about it. Still the locals, so you said they know where their bread's buttered, but they still take advantage of
you. No, it's great. It's so funny, right? So as soon as you get there, right, you got to get a rental car if you're going to have a rental car. So, I rented from Dollar Rental Car. We've always get rental car there. It's never been an issue, really. But as soon as you get there, the lady's like, oh, it's like $360 something for the week. And I'm like, really? I'm like, you know, the Travelocity receipt on my phone, it says it's like $328, right? She's like, oh, you know, I don't know where you're getting those numbers from. And I'm like, well, Travelocity, like, you know, the number one travel website in the world, you know, it's all right here, you know, there's a confirmation number and everything. She's like, well, holds up a sheet, well, you know, this is my number. So it's like, you know, right away it's like they're adding on $40 somehow. They know a tourist is just gonna be like, screw it, just give me my damn car, I'm out of here. And by the time their vacation's over, they're not gonna remember any of this, right? So right away you're getting kind of jacked up there. So you deal with it, you roll with it. I think the other funny thing was we went to, usually you don't have to pay to park anywhere down there. You kind of just do it, right? You kind of just figure it out. You park somewhere. But we went downtown, like, to go grab something one night. We kind of had a park, and when we were leaving, we went on a cruise, a sunset cruise. And when we were leaving, the guy is standing at the kiosk, right? And he's like, oh, give me a ticket. It's not scanning good. And it comes up, it's like $12. And he's like, cash only, $12. And the guy has like a uniform on, right? But it's like, I mean, you know, dude, it's not. Like,
do you not pay it?
So I go, well, no credit card? He goes, no, credit card machine's not working. And like, dude, there's like kiosks everywhere where you could pay, right? Like, you know, the credit card's working. So I'm like, right away, I'm like, well, I don't have $12. All I have is this amount. I have $8 or $10. He's like, oh, yeah, all right, fine, you know, take it. And so that's like another scam, you know, that's just, it's the locals, you know, that $12 could be a big deal, right? You get that five times a night for somebody, you know, that could feed a family. So it's not like it's more of a laughing thing for us, you know, right. Because it's just, you see it, you know, and the best part is when you call them on it, it's like automatically no English. You know what I mean? It's automatically like, it's like, play the fifth. Like this, drop it to another planet.
Well, and the thing is that you're right in the sense that like $5 to us means a whole lot different to other people in other parts of the world. I don't want to get into the socioeconomics of it, but the truth is that they play on that. And if they do it over time, 5 days, 7 days a week over time, they're going
to. Oh, wait, I got a better one. This is the best one. This is the best one. I can't believe I almost forgot this. My wife's sitting behind me here. She's the accountant. She caught this one. So we go out to dinner, right? And then the check comes. And down there, like, you cannot get your check, dude. Like, it's like impossible. And if you do get your check, you can't get them to come back for payment. It's like insane. Like, so all the tourists, American tourists, they just want to get out because we want to move, right? Yeah. So the lady comes back with our check and she's like, oh, if you want to take credit card, you want to put it to your room, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, just real quick, giving you a bunch of options what to do. And we're like, no, fine, we'll just pay credit card. So my wife's looking at the receipt. She's like, wait a minute, this isn't our receipt. She's like, wait, we got this. What's these two coconut banana ice creams in here? They're like totaled like $25. And I'm like, she's like, we didn't get this. And I go, so I'm like, this is the next scam, right? So they just throw these random things on the bottom of bills, hoping you're not going to notice it, or you just charge it to your room. $20 here, $10 here, $20 here.
Did they take it off?
Oh yeah, we called them on it, and I the way I called them on it was basically like, you added these to our bill, like basically saying you're just trying to scam us, but not being a dick about it. But it's just funny, like again, it's just how it works. Like you think about that again, like what you're saying, you do that over the course of a night and a week, and then you even if you're divvying that up with the people over the course of a night and a week, that's some good money for them, and I guarantee it works. Guarantee it works a lot.
Heads up.
It adds up. There's always a scam. Always a scam.
Maybe we'll do something later in the week in advance of the Yankees-Red Sox series after I think we each play a couple. I don't know if the Red Sox played the O's on Wednesday or not, but either way, there's a couple games tuning up. Hopefully it'll mean something, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brian. Take care, man.
Right now, the song you can't get out of your head, that breaking story, or that conversation you just have to be a part of.
That's the brand new song from
This is a Breaking News Report.
He shoots, he scores.
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day. What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from
This is a Breaking News Report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.